Yeah, I have had a lot of things going on here in the last couple of weeks, including my vacation to Turks and Caicos, which I came back from. I guess I had to come back after the bank started failing, right? At any rate, before we left, we had a lot of great calls on the market. I'm going to go over them now, and you'll see they were very, very accurate and very, very good. And actually, for what we charge for our PDF reports and to speak to me for over an hour, is really a joke compared to the value I think that we deliver. You'll make your own decision, but you know that's how I feel. All right, so before we get into the picks, let's go over a couple of general things, and I'll give you my opinion, my views. Let's get the disclosures out. You know, when you're trading, there's risk of loss in all types of trading, and past performance is not indicative of future results, and trading is not for everybody. And always consult your brokerage firm to determine your own suitability and your own risk tolerance. Okay, that's all true. Now, what we're going to do is get into my opinion and my observations on the markets. Okay. Looking at the S&P here, we're up 17 points. Okay, fantastic. Great. Okay. Now, we had two sell signals in the last month or so. One was at 4208 and one was at 4080. And you're going to, and both were excellent times to sell. And I'll show you exactly how I came up with those numbers. First of all, can you see on the 20-year graph, the moving average comes in on the 24 and it came in right at 4208. So when you start hitting 4208 and the moving average is right there, that is an area of resistance. Okay, so that was door number one on why it might be time to do some selling, trimming, hedging, whatever you do when you think things will roll over. Then we go to the 1 year graph and we look at, hang on a second here. Hold on 1 second. So when we were looking at the 1 month graph, you know, people who do short-term trading, they don't want to hear about 20 years. I look at things from all different time perspectives. So I have a large perspective on where we are. Okay. So on a short term, obviously, if I'm looking for it, see, I get a sell ID at 4208, right? What's the next thing I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the short-term graphs and see if it is short-term rolling over. So I go over here to the monthly graph and you can see in the beginning of March, we hit a high point here. And can you see the high point there was 4062? You see where the RSI is? 75. Okay. We make a new high up to 4080. This is the recent one, not the 4208, the recent one. We go up and we make another new high here, and the high is at 4082. Look where your RSI is, 62. 75 versus 62, that's a pretty good size divergence. So once it gets under the red line here, that's my moving average. Boom, that's a sell. And what a sell it was all the way down to 3,800. That's what? 240 point drop, 260 point drop. Nothing to sneeze at, right? Okay. So that gives you some idea of the information that I was providing to people at that time. And that's how I monitor things all the time. Of course, you know, liquidity providers tend to make a lot of money. What does liquidity providers mean? That means when everyone is selling, like down here at 3,800, right, in March, somebody's buying. And you know who's buying? A liquidity provider, probably a Citadel, probably somebody, you know, of large hands who can take the volume in. And he takes all the volume in, providing liquidity for the panic crowd. And now he's got the thing back up 119 points. Again, the theory of providing liquidity is that the volume does end at some point and then it goes the other way or reverts to the mean under its own weight. Okay, so that's what liquidity, it's happened also in some of the regional banks. Okay, we'll get into that a little later to give you a little bit of idea on that. But again, that gives you an idea on where we've been on the S&P, selling at 4208 and selling at 4080. Okay, that's where we have been. I'll get into where we are now in a second. Okay. And by the way, QQQ is doing better than the S&P. And we told everybody that back in December, because we have a ratio between growth and growth and value. And that ratio switches every once in a while. It doesn't switch all the time. Had a couple of switches last year from value into growth. Primarily, it's been value that's been the place to be. But every once in a while, like I think May last year and some other time last year, August, maybe you had a switch it into growth for a couple months. Okay. Right now, this thing is lasting a little longer. It switched in December. It's made it through January and February and into March. Now, again, the growth sector is dropping now, but it's just dropping less than the others. Okay. And I'll show you some of the stocks that we've been involved in and what we think. And they're up today. So I'll show you which ones we've been talking about. All right. So anyway, that gives you an idea on that. I'm just going to go over a couple things and I'll get into all your picks. All right. So there's your stock market. That's our feeling on it. As far as right now is concerned, let's take a look right now on the S&P. On the S&P, we've got on the monthly graph, we got the RSI still under 50. That's not great. You got that big 120 month moving average coming down. That's resistance, but it is above the red line there, and it is pointing up a little bit. So if you're bullish, you want this thing to stay above 3889, 3890. Okay. Actually, just keep it above 3,900 would be nice, because if it starts breaking under 3,890 and 3,880, it's probably already on its way. All right. Looking at the 1 year graph, you have got everything's above, everything's resistance, and they're all getting inverted. So lots of resistance above. Could be a very tough act to get it to go up. But again, we don't fight the tape. When it goes up, like here in January 23, we're buying. If it goes down, we're selling. We're not linked to anything. If it peaks through, but the red line keeps pointing down, and that means it's probably not going to last. So we might not necessarily turn bullish if it goes, because we want the red line pointing up if, in fact, we're bullish. We want it pointing down if we're bearish. Okay. All right. And we want the RSI above 50. Now, the RSI, again, if it gets above 60, you generally accelerate to the upside. If you get under 40, you accelerate to the downside. So you'll notice right here, when we came down, once we broke under 40, we got a pretty good acceleration to the downside of about 100 S&P points. All right. So what does it look like now? Again, you got it on a short-term basis, stay above 3890. And then, of course, resistance above. Now, here on the longer-term graphs, it can get back on the bicycle, and it can get on the bicycle pretty darn good if it gets above what? 3950 and then getting above 4000. So there's another couple of numbers to keep in mind. And if it starts doing that, we will be bullish. Okay. We'll be bullish. Okay. But the bottom line is isn't doing that just yet. So we're keeping our powder dry. Plus the RSI is still under 50, if you notice. All right. So there you go there. How about on the long-term graph? The long-term graph, again, our belief is this. We're going down to the purple line. Why are we going to go down the purple line? Because when you get events like we're having with this bank stuff, GDP gets hit. What does that mean? That means we get a slowdown in demand. And if you get a slowdown in demand, that's why those bonds are rallying, which I'll show you why we thought that was going to happen as well. But the bottom line is that you're going to get a hit on GDP. It happened after every crisis. So again, we're expecting a hit on GDP, which means a hit on earnings, which means the earnings are going to drop, which means the PE ratios are going to probably tighten up. Maybe they won't tighten up that much, though, if the yields drop. Again, a little better interest rate environment would take a little pressure off the valuations. But if the earnings drop, you're still going to get tagged. And again, it's not out of the question we come down and hit the purple line. You see, we did it during the crisis of COVID, right to the number, right to the number. So I'd love to buy it down there. And how do you get it down there? Let me give you the math. If you've got if you got earnings that are expected to be a 225 on the S&P, and say it dropped down to 180, and then your multiplier is say 16, you're at 2890. So you get the earnings to drop on the S&P down to 2 or less, and you get the PE to drop down towards 16, and voila, there's your math. Now things take time, okay? And I'm not in a hurry. I got money. I don't want to lose the money, right? So I want to take my time. I want to make sure odds are on my side, if I can. And I'd like to have an exit point that makes sense. All right. So the bottom line is that's really where I would love to do significant, what they call long-term buying. But right now, this thing is in a wedge, and Lord knows what they're going to do with it, because liquidity is the key right now in the markets. Again, you can't, the liquidity is the problem. Do you remember the gilt market a few months ago with the British in Britain? You almost had the insurance companies into a solvency problem, right? Because the gilts lost value and they spiked up. So the Bank of England had to come in and stabilize things. That's exactly what's going to happen now. We're having an event just like they did, and they're going to come in and stabilize it. The Lady Lagarde just pumped interest rates by 50 points. Why do you think she did that? Because inflation is a joke over in Europe. It's going nuts. And there's an event with Credit Suisse, but let the Swiss put up 50 billion, right? And let Union Bank buy them out, and let's go on with our lives. And that's what she's saying. We got to fight against inflation here. We can't get involved in one bank over in Switzerland. Let them put up their own money, 50 billion, which they did, and let what? Union Bank buy them out or get some coalition and let's go on with it. Okay, let's start. And that's what I think is going to happen next week with the Fed. they're going to say, okay, we stay, you know, we're stabilizing the deposit situation. You don't have to run to your bank and take every dime out. Don't forget the government prints money. So they want to print it and give it back to you. They certainly can. And so that's what's more than likely going to happen is, you know, they're going to stabilize an incident here and they're going to continue the fight. And that's what I think is the most likely outcome, but we'll have to see. There's still a six handle on CPI, and there's still a what? And there's still a core rate that's rising. And, you know, wages might not be going up as much, but they're going up. And we still got 3.6% unemployment. Until that says 4 or 5, I don't think this game's over. That's just my opinion. All right. So anyway, on the S&P here, again, you get above 4,000 and this and 3950 and 3960. These are your key numbers. 3950, 3960, 4,000. Then you might be able to get back on the bicycle. If you get back on the bicycle, obviously 4,200 is going to be a problem. But that's, you know, again, that's right now wishful thinking. Okay. And again, keep your powder dry or be aware that if earnings did really get hit later in the year, we could see a real unwinding of this thing in Q3 and Q4. You got to worry about where the puck is going, not where the puck is. Okay. All right. Let's turn over to the bond market and let me show you what I told people before I went and got a suntan. What I told them was the Treasury note, and I put this in big capitals in my report, big capitals, island key reversal. Okay. Nobody even had 90% of America doesn't know what that means. Okay. I'll show you what it means because it led to a very good situation here. Okay. Let's go to the 1 year graph. Okay. Do you see this area right here when it hit 410? Right. That's a yield. By the way, this is the yield on the 10-year treasury for those who don't know what we're looking at. Okay. That is an island. What is the island? I gave you the exact numbers. It's 404 on the downside and 409 on the upside, the yield. So what I told everybody is if this thing breaks under 390, okay, which is where the moving average was, 393, it has a potential of accelerating to the downside. Now, did I know these banks were going to go belly up? No, I didn't. But did I know that the chart, maybe somebody did know, because why is this thing already bounding over way before they make the announcement, right? I mean, I've been in this thing 40 years. You don't think I think, the weather, never mind. Let's just say I'm suspicious sometimes. Okay. All right. So anyway, this thing, obviously, if you sold your, if you bought your interest up here, you bought your bonds up here, the 2-year note was the way to go. I told everybody that. Why? Because if you buy the 2-year note with a yield of over 5%, what's the worst case scenario if rates go up? You get over 5% and you get your money back in 24 months. You can't live with that. You can't be in the market. Now, what do you think the 2-year yield is price is going for since it's gone under 4% in a week? It's gone through the roof. Plus you get the 5% or you sell it out and take your money. Either way, it's a good deal. All right. So anyway, now, again, the key area here for me, I'll show you right now. 340. Can you see it's holding on for dear life? Okay. If this thing busts, and that would, if it busts, it's probably because there's 19 more banks coming that's going to have problems. If it busts, this thing is going to have an air pocket, I think. And the air pocket will at least fill that gap around 3.25. But more than likely, if it's a real big situation, 2.5 is in the cards. And that is going to shock people. But again, if this thing is a transitory, ooh, that's that word again, and this problem is not going to be pervasive, and these guys go with 25s and talk about going to 5.5 Fed funds, then these rates are not going to stay down. And if these unemployments don't pick up, again, we may still get another couple of months of hiking, which means what? We're in March. We could still get April, May, and June, and then we might see the breaking up of the CPI, the breaking up of the inflation fever, and then you'll get the slowdown in the economy. And then in 24, you'll get your rate cuts that everyone thought was going to happen this year. Okay. Things take time. Things take time. And if you don't realize that, you soon will. Okay. So there you go on interest rates, right on one of the great calls, in my view, I've ever had in 40 years. But I mean, that's a pretty good call. And so that worked out real well. Let's turn to the gold market. And I'll explain what we've been seeing there, because that was another good call. Now, again, past performance, not indicative of future results. My name's not Kreskin or Notre-Dame's. We're just doing very good, and we're following our methods, and we're thankful for that. Okay, let's talk about the 20-year graph. Okay, can you see there is a traffic jam at 1800? Traffic jam. So if you were going to buy, what would you do? You'd buy at 1800. and put your stop underneath, or you'd buy your gold stocks, or you'd buy your calls, or whatever the heck you do that's bullish, right? And so basically, we've gotten a nice $100 move off of that. Now, again, why did we think it would not follow through the first time it went up here? Because look at the RSI. Here's the RSI at 83. Next time up, the RSI was at 60. That's why we're selling at 2100, not buying. While everybody else is getting wiped out on the down move, we've got money in our pocket and we're going to Turks and Caicos. Got it? Now, it comes down to 1600, right? Now it comes back up again. Can you see on the rally to 1960? It only went to 58. Again, another sell time. Now, where are we now? We are at 58 right now. Okay, so this is going to be key. Can it take out that resistance or that high point of what? 1960. If it can't and it takes out 1800, it's sayonara. And why would it be sayonara? Because when you have these events, deflation does hit. Disinflation takes a lot more time than people think, but it ultimately happens. And I don't know that gold feeds on disinflation, right? And these interest rates are going to possibly stay elevated. And if they stay elevated above the inflation rate, because CPI ultimately comes down later in the summer, then again, gold could have a hard racket. But we don't argue with the tape. Right now, the RSI is above 50 and pointing up a little bit. And if it starts blowing out 1960, this thing could fly. So we've got bullish positions. But if it starts breaking up under 1800, or maybe even before that, let's look at the shorter term graph. What's the 1 month telling us? 1 month is telling us you had a high point of 68 and the next high point is 63. So you're developing a divergence there. And if you start dumping under 1920, 1910 on the monthly, this thing could go down to the purple, which is 1880. And then, of course, on the 1 year, again, that high point is still surrounded by lower highs. Real key to get above 1960, real key. And right now it's key to get above this high right there, which is 1942. Okay, so you got two resistance points, 1942 and 1960, and this futures contract about 1980. Okay, red line's pointing up. That's not bad, right? But it is. Oh, this is called reversion to the mean, possibly. When the thing's down at 1860 and you're up at 1940, sometimes it reverts back towards the line. Okay, so again, 1942 is really the key short term for the gold right now. But again, 1800 is the big line in the sand, and 1960 is the other big line in the sand. When those two things break one way or the other, you probably have a lot of follow through. Okay, so there's your gold, and there. And let me show you the crude, because you know the whole world is long crude. Every newsletter guy who's ever been born is telling everybody to buy crude, $100 crude. Here's what we've been saying. Okay, you know, I've been kind of quiet about our picks and our calls, trying to be polite about it. But you know, it's time to say exactly what we've been doing and what we've been saying so people understand it. Here's the crude. Okay, you know, we're going to go to the 20-year graph. Okay, can you see the red line is rolling over? So I've been saying that it's got to get above 90, 93 to really get bullish. And it's not been doing that, has it? And can you see the green line comes in right around 83? So what I've been telling people is this. If you can't get above 83 and you can't get above 90, keep your money in your pocket for a rainy day. And you know what's happening now? A rainy day. And you know what better to happen right now? It better stop raining. Why? Because you see it's right on the lines here. And can you see underneath? It's a big abyss. Remember the abyss movie? There's the abyss. This is what happens when things go in the abyss, right? So the bottom line is we need this thing to hold. Is a place where it could hold. Look at the high over here. What was the high? 65 and change. What's the low here today? 65 and change. Okay, so there's a reason why it may stop here, but that RSI is fading and it's at 40. So let me tell you about RSI. If this thing breaks and the RSI breaks under 40, this thing could accelerate to the downside in a big way. And I live in Las Vegas, and when everybody's got their money on the craps table and then somebody rolls the wrong number, there's a thing called a rake. And the rake takes all the money off the table and puts it in that little hole, and it's called the house money. And what's going to happen is if this thing breaks down and does gap down, everybody who's long all this Chevron and Exxon and all the Halliburtons and all the rest, they're going to have their money raked away. If it can hold here, then you've got a situation where maybe the summer driving season and the dynamic of supply and demand can kick in, and maybe they stop selling out of the strategic oil reserve. And maybe things like that will turn the thing around. Sometimes it's darkest before dawn. So we're not saying it's definitely going to drop here. What we're saying is we thought it would drop because it failed to get above our resistance numbers. And we are thinking this is the station where better it hold. Okay. Now, I'm not saying it can't dip down for a day and then get back above it. They sneak around like that all the time, don't they? Right. But anyway, right here, keep a good, strong eye on it. And, you know, obviously up here when it rallies to 90 and 85, that's when you hedge your position, sell calls against your position, sell calls by puts, if you know anything about hedging. If you don't, that's why you need the PDFs that we have. And you need to talk to your broker. All right. So there you go. I gave you. Now, the last thing I'm going to give you is the dollar. And on the dollar, another thing we've been very, very accurate on, because we're not in a hurry to do anything. You know, we're not in a hurry to do anything. Now, again, when a market gets this far above the moving averages, right, 115, and the moving averages are at 100 and something and 96, it's not if it's coming down, it's when it's coming down, because they revert back to the mean. I mean, can't you see here in 2015, back to the mean, the red line, next time back to the green line. Then the big one, back to the purple line. Then a big move up and back towards the purple line. Now it went way up here and it went and hit the red line. And now it almost hit the green. So this is when it got down to this area towards 100. We said that it probably will bounce. Why is that? Because it had a big drop. And if you measure, let's do a little measurement here. You take 115 and minus the low of 90, and that's 25 points. You take 61% of that and you get 15. You know what 115 minus 15 is? It's 100. So if the thing goes down towards 100 and that's a Fibonacci drop and you got a green line there, what are you going to do? You're going to cover your shorts, right? And you're going to start getting long. Now, we've been telling people 106 is the big number and it has not been able to get above 106. So selling it against 106 on a short-term basis was exactly what we thought was a good idea. And we still think it's a good idea, but if it gets above 106, we would obviously switch ourselves and definitely get long the dollar index. Up until then, you know, if our yields drop, there goes our yield advantage out the door. We got a $31 trillion national debt, so that's not very good. And we have a possible recession debt ahead. So obviously, the dollar could fall quite a bit. That might be the one that takes the gold through 1960. I don't know. We'll have to see. But I have a periscope looking at all these things all the time. And after 40 years, it doesn't take me that long to look. Okay. So anyway, those are the stories that I had for you. And again, that's where we are on all that stuff, which hopefully is helpful to you looking back and also looking forward. All right. Let's take a look at some of your stuff here and see if you have any stocks you want me to look at, please do. Otherwise, I'll show you what I've been watching. If you have any stocks, just please put them in the area of the chat box. Yeah, you got the chat box there. So throw the symbols in if you have any. All right. What's been working for us since December is growth. And I'm going to put up some of the stocks that we've liked since December. And you tell me how they've been doing. First one is IGV. This is called the tech software. Okay. And I'm going to put the 1 year graph up there so you can see it. And you can see pretty much this thing back in December, you know, started to get quite positive as it busted up, late December, it busted up above 250 and it's gone all the way up to 300. And now it's holding on to the line down here. Okay. But it's been a pretty good run from December here. We got the buy signal and then basically we got it all the way up to 300. Right now on IGV, you want to stay above 280 and definitely stay above the purple line, comes in at 275. So there's your parameters. It breaks under there, party's over. If it starts breaking above 290, then this thing could start accelerating. But we had a nice run, and that was the main thing. Next one that's been good for us, obviously, is the semiconductors. That includes all your NVIDIAs and all those kind of guys. I'll name a few other ones in a minute. And so basically, again, where did we get the signal? We got the signal in December. And here's our move, December going into January. And then basically we popped in from 200 up to 250, not too bad. Stay above 240, please, and definitely stay above 227. And those are some, now some of the ones that are in there that we've liked is Adobe. A lot of, you know, obviously with that ChatGPT, you know, but again, there's a lot of hiccups on that. Google came out with one and it totally didn't work. And now Baidu came out and theirs doesn't work. So obviously there's some kinks in the system, but, you know, some pretty, you know, obviously sharp guys like Ken Griffith of Citadel, you know, seem to think that there's a very, very, very big future to it. So I would not sneeze at guys like that when they get bullish because they get a lot of money. All right. So let's look at Adobe here and see what you can find here. ADBE. And let's see. What's that done since December? Not too shabby, right? Okay. Had a big drop here and then it came back up. But the bottom line is right now it's on the upside at 330. And as long as it stays above 330, it's good. Okay. Looks like it's trying to make a move through the 50. Not one of the better ones compared to, you know, the IGV or the SMH. Here's one that's going up here today. I was wondering, and talk about looking in the junkyard. This thing is obviously way down in price, and today it's up 5%. So, you know, you want to shop in a junkyard, this might be, they got a big thing they're building over in Phoenix. So, you know, that's not a joke. And so maybe they'll take market share back at some point. You know, this is how sometimes you can make a lot of money. You buy things when they're down and out in Beverly Hills, right? Look at the 20-year graph, put it in perspective. I mean, this thing used to be a $70 stock. I mean, obviously 25's got a lot of support. So if you want to play ball, you know, you'd want it to stay above 25. And can you see the RSI hit 25 here? And then when it retested, it was up at 38. That's the divergence you buy against. So there's a reason to be buying this thing at 25 because the RSI is telling you the selling's exhausted. You're getting at least a pop. So that's intel. And again, you know, reversion to the mean, you know, will it get to 40 at some point, in, you know, down the future? Well, you know, that Phoenix thing works out. You don't know. I think it pays a decent dividend too. So it wouldn't be something to take a look at. Then AMD was another one that seems to be turning the corner a little bit lately. And on the long-term chart, it looks like it's trying to get back on the bicycle quite a bit because it's now back above the blue line at 95, but it's running right into resistance right here at 96. So we'll have to see if it can get above 96, it's got some highway to go, got a lot of highway to go. But I'd watch 96 pretty closely, see how it closes today and see what they do tomorrow. But again, if it got above that, I'd probably use 96 as a support, definitely use 89, 90 as a support. And again, it does look like it is trying to move up. That's on a longer term graph. Shorter term one, there's your breakout. Yeah. Okay. But let's see RSI. RSI was 70 here. And RSI is where here? 72. Okay. So there's no divergence to worry about. That's good. That's good. It's getting extended. Obviously, you buy the thing at 80. When it turns up, you buy it at 80. You know, you don't start buying at 94. You know, you keep an eye on things. And when they turn up, you take your shot. You know, but that looks obviously that looks pretty good. You know, these exchanges must be making some money, right? So you take a look at CBOE. That's the options deal, right? This is something we've been keen on. Why not buy the casino, right? Well, on a 1-year basis, it is starting to turn up a little bit. If it gets above 125 here, that would be good. And again, there is some potential there. Let's see what the RSI. See, the RSI is trying to turn up here. So keep an eye on CBOE as long as it can stay above 123. And the other one is CME. That's the other casino out there, right? A lot of volume, right? A lot of volume. And, you know, these guys, they like volume. That's how they get their action. And that looks like it wants to go someplace too. So, hey, maybe you just want to buy the house, huh? You want to buy the house? That's what you buy the house. Okay. Let me just see if any other ones I got here. That Marvel's starting to look pretty reasonable. Yeah, the lower interest rates are not going to hurt the tech sector. And again, you know, we've been positive versus value. Now, we'll switch right back if it starts turning. But right now, that's not evidence. The evidence is that growth is better than value right now. Hard to believe all these people who told you to buy value, who to buy dividend-only stocks and all that kind of stuff. But again, if the rates do come down, it does take the pressure off these people. And most of the stuff that these guys do have high profit margins. So, you know, these guys can produce profits. And you know what? You know, if you can get earnings during a recession, you're going to be a popular guy. Okay, so this thing is just really just kind of just barely turning here. Nothing to write home about, but it's having, let's just see, you had 38 down there. And on the retest, it was 41. So you're getting a pop. You're getting a pop. Plenty of resistance here. You know, on a long-term basis, again, you know, it's down near where it's got a hold. You know, I mean, the purple line's no joke. And so that comes in at the high 32. So there's your line in the sand. When it goes down to 35 and your line in the sand's 32, you know, if you want to take a shot, you take a shot there. Now, my view is to try to take them as close to the lines as possible, because if you take them when they're way up here at 90 and the moving averages are down here, you're going to get whacked. You're going to get whacked very hard, because nobody's going to be telling you to get out up here, and you're not going to want to get out. Because why? Because you have made a ton of money, and you now you are invincible. And as soon as you start thinking you're invincible, that's about near the end, isn't it? So, you know, that's why you have to have some methodology to temper your enthusiasm or temper your pessimism. All right. Other things going on here. Yeah, some of these smaller guys here that, you know, social media stuff. Let's take a look. Pinterest. You know, these guys got pretty big investors in them. And I think Elliott Management is in Pinterest. I'm not sure, but somebody big's in there. Anyway, it looks like it's got plenty of support there in the area of around $23. And it looks like it's trying to turn up. And so basically, that's I'm trying to pull your coat to that one. All right. And then what about Snap? Snap. All right. So Snap's another one that looks like it's trying to make a turn here. You want this thing to stay above the 1070. Well, actually, 1070. So it's right there. Let's see what it looks like. It's on a one-year basis. Snap doesn't go back that far because it's a fairly recent company. Let's see on a one-month, how short a leash can you put on it here? Yeah, so you want it above 10, stay above 1040, and you'd like it to consistently stay up here. Now, there's a gap, so you want to know where it might be going. It might be going to fill that gap. That gap is between 1140 and 1160, so it might be going up there. Keep an eye on it. Pinterest looks better. What about PayPal? Elliott Management's got a big position in them, too. And that one's turning up a little bit on the 1 month. So you want to stay above 73 and change on the 1 month. On the 1 year, yeah, you want it to get above this 75 area. So, you know, it has some proof to do. It's a little weak on the RSI, so it might be early on it. Let's see what the low is here. 41 on the RSI. And under here, it was 40. So you don't have a much of a divergence, but it doesn't look too bad. But again, it's early on this one. Got a gap. Gap between 83 and 85. So if it got some good news and it wanted to go, it could go into that gap, peek through it like it did here, and then tank. And what about telephone? Okay, nothing too good here still. This thing's been a dog and it remains barking. Not as much of a dog as when it went down here to 14. And if you look at the 20-year graph, that gives you a good perspective because this thing's been around forever. See, when you go down here to 14 and you're that far away from the averages, okay, you know, it is a reversion to the mean type possibility. You got to remember that. It's way above the moving averages up here at 33. You know, it's going to revert to the mean. Big part of it. Now, like I say, you know, there's not an exact science. I think when you get a high and it's a lower RSI, that's a pretty good first signal that it's going to revert to the mean. But the best signal is when the red line points down, or if the red line starts pointing up. This red line is not pointing up, really, so it's not giving you a great idea that it's reverting to the mean right now. So telephone's not really that great. All right. What else are people in? Let's just take a look at some of these ones that look like they're in trouble. Any people are in energy? Let's see what kind of trouble we're in energy. Yeah, you see it broke the red line. Remember I told you about reverting to the mean? When you're at 95 and the averages are down here, it's not if you're coming down, it's when. Now, the other thing is let's look at RSI here. You're at 59.60. Up here, you went to 66. Next time they rallied, 64. So not too much of a divergence. Not that really wasn't a great indicator. The best indicator is it's breaking down under this price here, which is 82. So it gets back above 82, it's back on the bicycle. If it doesn't, and oil does break further, you know, here's some of the numbers you could possibly see. And the RSI is still above 50. So again, this could just be a dip to buy. And again, if we hold that 65 neighborhood on oil and you start seeing 70, 72, 73, you know, these things could get back on the bicycle. So they're at pretty critical times right now. This thing definitely has broken. Looking at the 1 year, now you're getting very oversold here, basis the RSIs, right? See this gap? Maybe that's where it's going, right? Gaps get filled. They already filled this one. That's why I always watch where gaps are, right? And so look at this. You see the gap there and it filled right there. So you kind of got a gap down here. Maybe it's going for that. That would be 70 to 72 area, something like that, 70 to 74. So you could have one more leg down there, fill that gap, and then take it from there. This is another example of an island key here. You see this area here? That's an island, right? And you see, when an island key breaks out, it goes a long way. So those interest rates coming down, they may have a long way to go. They already come very far. Come on, let's face it. The 5 years gone from 5.25 down to 380 or something like that. I mean, that's a huge move in a week. Come on. So when you get that island thing, that's why I was putting it in bold print in my letter, island key reversal, because it doesn't happen very often. You see it happening all the time? No. So when it does happen, you better put it in bold print, which is what I did. Okay. So there's your oil stocks. These things, that's Exxon and Chevron, and then a bunch of other players. Let's look at the other type of stuff they got here, like the oil exploration. How's that going? Again, very oversold short term, but what does it look like on the long term? Long term, it broke down when it broke under 140, 138. And now it's hitting this 118, trying to hold on for dear life. And then it's got something going on over here too. But this thing, like I say, this thing is on the defensive, but it's trying to hold on to this number here. So staying above 117 is a pretty good thing for that. But it's definitely on the defensive. And the other one is your servicers, which, you know, I thought actually we're going to be doing quite well because they're going to have to look for oil because we are not going all electric overnight, are we? So this thing, you know, has come down again here to 260. The average right now comes in at 242. So it's still got another $20 potential on the downside to hit the green. RSI is still above there. Let's see what it looks like on the 5 year. Yeah, see, this is a number. This is why you got to be careful on looking at different numbers. If it can hold right here, which is at 253, and that also is the low today. I mean, think that's coincidental? It hit 253 today. It's at 260. Where's the 120 moving average? 253, right? Somebody's trading against it. And the RSI is at 40. What did I tell you about RSI? If RSI gets under 40, it can accelerate to the downside. So this 40 number on RSI is also a level where sometimes it stops as well. So keep an eye on it. Like I say, I was negative on the oil up at 83 and 90. I'm not negative at 65. I'm just thinking it's either going to be a collapse thing or you're buying a bargain down here, one or the other. You got parameters to work with. So that's what I do. All right. So let's look at gold. You know, sometimes people buy these coins and everything else, and then you got to go through dealers, and then there's markups, and then there's bid-ask spreads and all that kind of stuff. Now, the other way to go is you buy gold shares, and you say to yourself, if gold goes nuts, maybe the companies that own the gold in the ground would do well too. That's the idea. Now, this thing looks like it had a nice correction, which might be about a 61%. This is GDX, which has Newmont Mining and all kinds of guys like that in it. So you take this 22 number and you go up to 34, just rough math. That's a $12 move. 61% gives me about a $7 drop. 34 minus 7 gives me about a 27 number. And where's the low been? Right around 27. So that's why it stopped there. So maybe that's the correction being over. And maybe it's a 1-2-3 formation, which means you're going to take the one move here, the two move back, don't take out the low. And then if you take out the high move, you really get going big time. Give you another 1-2-3 here. Yeah, back in October, you had the one move to 34 and change, the two move back down, really didn't take out the lows. Once you took out the high of 34, you were at 42 before you could spell gold. So again, the 1-2-3 formation is very powerful. If you do take out this number of 33 and change, then you might open the door to some pretty big upside in gold. And the RSI is giving you that too. So the jury's still out. Where would you get hints that it might be going up? If we can start closing above $30, that's door number one. And then if you close above $33, that's door number two. And then door number three is take your profits. Okay, so that's what the gold looks like right now to me. Silver. Okay, these are the silver miners. And on the silver miners, where are you looking? Let's see. All right, same story. You had a rally, pull back, kind of hold to 24. So as long as we can hold this low down here around 25 and a half, and if we can take out 32 and get above this purple line, you got something cooking here. If not, again, gold and silver may be more victims of disinflation and a recession, because I don't know that a recession or disinflation is positive for these metals, and that purple line looks pretty darn downtrending, and that's your 120-month moving average. So that's basically the story on the silver. Some of the industrial metals look like they were going to go, but now the problem is if you hit a recession, you know, maybe you're not going to go anywhere. So let's take a look here, because this is one of my favorites. I'll show you why. This is Freeport MacMoran. First of all, copper is a very valuable thing. It's used in like 19,000 things. And they're not making any more copper mines. So obviously the supplies are not infinite. Now, I loved this thing when it got above $5 and $10 here. Was all over that. Threw it in the IRA, let it ride. And look at the ride we got. Because look, when it gets down here, right, you got to say to yourself, are we going to not use copper? And is copper going to become obsolete? And if you answer no to that, then you got to figure the leading copper producer at $5 or $10 with the thing turning up, you know, and then we're coming out of what? COVID with all that printing of money? Boom. Okay. Now, when you get up here, you get an RSI of 84. And when that next high happened, RSI is 71, that's where I'm dumping. Okay. And then if it comes back down here, that's when you want to reload. So 25 was a great reload place. Now your problem is that it's having a hard time taking that high out. And now it looks like the red line's pointing down. So if this thing cannot stay above $35, you know, then it could have some problems. The blue's still rising. So that's a good sign. And the blue's been holding. So your support right now really is $31. That's your support. Okay. But staying above 35, that would be very helpful because you got to get that blue line turning up because you're not going to see big up moves that last without the red line pointing up. You're just not going to see it, I don't think. All right. So there's your Freeport MacMoran. The other stuff that people, on the industrial side, I mean, I've liked some of these companies in and out. But I was hopeful that we might see a long-term uptrend on some of these. Still might. So keep an eye on them. This is Cleveland Cliffs. Now, this thing looks to me like if it can stay above where these moving averages are, which are where? 16, 18, 20. Now we're at 17. It popped above 20, didn't like the altitude. Now we're right back to 17. So if we can hold $16, start getting back above 20, and you get that RSI, which is at 49, starting to point up, and they go into a big infrastructure deal to get the economy going next year or whatever, it could blow out 30, and it could have a really big time of it. So I'd keep an eye on it. You know, I'm obviously everyone's disappointed that the thing fails to hold its gains, right? But the point is, you know, if they get some good fundamental news and supplies get tight or whatever, and the infrastructure gets big, you know, maybe they're going to rebuild Ukraine at some point. Who knows? All right. The other one is steel. And again, similar chart, you know what I mean? And so, like I say, you'd love to see this thing stay above $20, and you'd love to see this thing start to trade above 30 and stay there. Because if it does that, it can open up the door for all this area up here. You don't know. If we have big infrastructure spending, I would think U.S. Steel, I would think the Freeport MacMoran would be two that would probably benefit from it, and the Cleveland Cliffs. And then another one over there that everyone loves in Brazil, Vale or Vale or whatever you do. I'm not Portuguese, so I don't know how to say it. At any rate, there you go. You've got Vale on a 20-year basis, as long as it stays above 14, looking pretty good. Of course, these are declining high points. So if we hit a recession and Brazil has a new president over there, Lord knows what that's going to be. The other guy was a crazy guy. And this guy sounds like he might be crazy too, for all we know. And so it could get very volatile over there. And so bottom line is, if they have problems over there, then, you know, this thing could be going down for reasons, despite the fact they have good metal reserves or whatever. Okay, so there's your industrial metals. Healthcare, let's look at some of the other real quick ones. Let's roll through them. Still got a few minutes. I'm covering a lot of stuff. So if you have questions, I'm going to give you my contact information. You give me your contact information, and I talk to you on the phone like I'm talking to you now. You can explain to me what you're looking at. I can give you my opinion and my observation based on my experience and what I use. And hopefully it'll be helpful. Okay. Because again, you know, if you go to people who sold you something, obviously they have a potential bias, right? So if you go to somebody who has no advice, no, you know, thing, you know, like that, you know, I can say whatever I want to say, right? All right. So here we go. Anybody can say whatever they want to say, but I'm just saying I don't have a particular bias on anything. Okay. So anyway, on the healthcare sector, this is what it looks like. It better hold what? 122. So let's just look for parameters of which it better hold. Healthcare XLV better hold the 122. Let's start at the top. The first one is XLB. That's materials. They've been doing good. Get off this. How dare you throw an ad out? Okay. Yeah, let's run through this. This would be helpful to everybody. Okay, as long as we hold XLB above what? About 76. Okay, you want it to hold about 76. And it's right there now. So right around here, you don't want this thing going any further. The red line pointing down is not a good sign. Okay, next one is XLC. XLC, again, red lines pointing straight down, trying to turn up. This one hadn't been around so long. Let's go to the 5-year, see if we get some better information. And the 5-year, this thing hadn't been around very long at all. Okay, but anyway, it has turned up on the red line, but it is, right now you want it to stay above 52 bucks. That's it. 52 bucks, stay above. Right now it's trading at 55. So as long as you stay above 52, but then you know your resistance is at 60, basis the purple line. Okay, so you want it to stay above 50, 52, and then you hopefully it'll keep going back up. Meta is part of this thing, and Meta is doing great. All right, so then you go to XLF. That obviously is in trouble. Those are the financials. Okay, you see they've dumped down pretty good here. We go to the 20-year graph, get us a different perspective. You see, it's under the blue line. So if it got back above, this is the problem when the red line's pointing down. Even if it goes through the red line, it's probably on borrowed time, right? Because the red line is pointing down, right? So the bottom line is even though it was getting some decent action here, plenty of reason to be suspicious, and the red line told you to be suspicious, and those suspicions were warranted, okay? So getting back above what? 32.85 is key, and holding 27 bucks is key. So there's your financials right there. All right, since we're on financials, rather than going over every sector, because I can do that privately with you guys, let's go over some of these stocks on the banks and see if there's a real bargain to be had. Let's start with one that I've been watching, which is NYCB Bank. Their dividend is up to over 10% based on the current price. See, what happens is these guys pay a dividend, right? And if the price drops of the stock, the dividend divided into the lower stock price gives you a higher yield. So that's what makes it interesting to me, because I like to get paid to watch the movie. That's what dividends are all about. You get paid to watch the movie. If the movie stinks, you're still getting some income. If it's great, you get the income and a great movie, right? So this company here, obviously, tanked down to $5, which is where I thought it was pretty interesting. Because if you buy something for $5, the most you can earn, or $5.80, whatever it hit, the most you can lose is $5.80. And if they don't cut their dividend, you're going to get a yield of over 10%. Now, again, cutting the dividend is something companies don't like to do unless they have to. Just like defaulting on their bonds, they don't want to do that unless they have to, because it's a negative thing. So if this company is going to be okay and it's just being hit because of the contagion, and their businesses are not damaged by it, and they don't cut their dividend, this thing may revert back towards the mean, which means it has a decent potential of going up, which has already gone up a dollar. And if they don't cut their dividend, you're going to get a heck of a yield. So it's worth taking a look. I don't know that it's a buy or not, because I'm not an expert at the bank, but this would be one I would look at further. Okay. Another one is FITB. And FITB is Fifth Third Bank. Now let's take a look at old Fifth Third Bank. Okay, Fifth Third Bank is down here, and it looks terrible, okay? And the RSI is down here. So, you know, you keep an eye on this thing. Obviously, it went down to 10 during the COVID crisis. Let's just see for math purposes if it makes any sense. You went from 10 bucks to 50. That's a $40 move times 61% is a $25 move. If you take 50 minus 25, where are you? You're at about 25 bucks a share. Where is it trading? Right around 25 bucks a share. So this neighborhood would be the neighborhood I'd watch. How would I watch it? I'd go to the 1 month graph and see if I get a signal. No signal yet on the 1 month. Then I go to the 1 year and no real signal on the 1 year. Okay. But I would look at the 1 month to see if I got any turn. And right now it's way too early on that too. Of course, it's only 48 hours since the darn thing blew up. So, you know, give it a little bit of time, I guess. And maybe you'll get it even a better price. But this is one that you'd watch, Fifth Third Bank. Another one that you'd watch would be TCBI. This is a Texas deal. So this could be getting whacked on two things. One is the oil prices dropping, and the other one is the fact that obviously the regional banks are getting whacked. But this thing during the crisis went down to 15, went all the way back to 95. Now it's come back to about 61%, 45. So this is another one you'd monitor. You see this high point here at around 45 coincides with where we hit. So how does this look like on a 1 month basis? No, it's starting to get going a little bit. Filled the gap. Watch for gaps. You know, the gaps will get filled generally. Again, this is one I'd monitor as well. With regards to WAL, that was on there that the guy from Citadel was pretty hep on this one here. Let's see what's going on. Yeah. So this one's another one that came way down. It's starting to turn up. And look at that. You know, The thing went from 120 down to, well, I went to 10 the other day. Oh my God. So again, you know, obviously this is a blowout deal. That's a blowout deal. Look what it's already gone from 10 to 33. Anyway, keep an eye on that one because some rather large guys have been sniffing around that. And then you've got Truist. Let's put up Truist. T-R-U-I-S-T. Okay. And what's this baby looking like? Okay, 31. Again, another one just like the other. They're all the same. They're way, way under pressure. They're way, way discounted. And in the near term here, we're going to probably find out if these things are going to be systemically damaged or if, in fact, this was a contagion thing. And then the liquidity that's being put up by the government is going to quell this problem, just like they quelled the gilt problem over in England with some liquidity. They don't even think about it anymore, even though those pension plans were close to having solvency problems. So again, this thing can change very quickly, but these are the players, some of the players that I would keep an eye on right now. Okay, we're getting to the top of the hour, so I'm going to be closing down. And I'm just going to invite you to contact me. This is optionprofessor.com. You go over the website, O-P-T-I-O-N, professor, P-R-O-F-E-S-S-O-R.com. And you put your information in there, and then we'll talk. And then basically there's things like information on options. Obviously, after 40 years, let's hope I know something about them. So if you have questions on, you know, hedging, call buying, trading options, when are the circumstances, in my opinion, again, I'm sharing everything with my opinion. What are the circumstances better for which strategy? I mean, there's a lot of guys running around trying to sell these 25-cent options, you know, and then, you know, they say 90% of the time it wins. Well, you're only getting 25 cents. So if you're doing a 10-point spread, do the math. If you lost one out of 10 and you're taking in 25 cents, you're going to get whacked, and you're going to get whacked hard, and that's not going to work very good. Now, could it work for some people? Anything works. A broken clock is right twice a day. It's not a strategy I would think would be very good for most people, particularly with tiny amounts of money, because if you're working with tiny amounts of money, you can't make much money, and you could lose a lot. To me, that's stupid. That's my opinion. All right. So anyway, we got the options we can talk to you about. Then we've got what? We broke down by sectors, which stocks we think are the best in each sector, in our opinion. So if you want to look at healthcare, boom. You want to look at the industrial metals, boom. Energy, boom. International, boom. China, Europe, we've got them all broken down.